My guest in studio has a remarkable career across politics and community advocacy. It's a great honour to have her in the studio. Before I introduce her, let me just give you a quick rundown of some of the remarkable achievements across her career over the past few decades. She has done four terms on the local council. She's been involved in state and federal politics, particularly with the Liberal Party, for many, many decades. She's a former state vice president of the Liberal Party. She's a member of the Order of Australia. But her work in domestic violence and child protection in particular is perhaps some of her most important work over many, many decades. It's a great honour to have her in studio. Her name is Deirdre Ford. Deirdre, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you.
Now, it's hard to know where to start in this conversation with you, but it's great to have you on. I guess I wanted to turn, for before we get into politics and your many, many years involved there, domestic violence. Now, it is really the crisis facing our country. It has hit the headlines, of course, in so many tragic circumstances and incidences in recent times. But, of course, this has been a problem for so long, and a crisis. In fact, it seems only now that it's getting, I guess, the national attention that it so warrants. But talk to us about, I guess, your passion for this issue. You've been involved in many levels of domestic violence advocacy and prevention for so long. Talk to us about why. What drives you to pursue that particular issue?
Well, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I use the word survivor, not victim. Mm. And in the very early days, there was very little assistance, very little help. Even the legal people would say, you cannot leave the matrimonial home or you'll not end up with any issues or anything to support your family and your children. More or less, just stay put. As a Catholic, honour your vows. So that was very difficult. But I knew that this wasn't right. I knew that I couldn't put up with it. And I had a very young baby. And I thought, I have got to get out of this situation.
And are we talking, in terms of what sort of time period we're talking about here, where, you touched on it there, where could women go at that time? Are we talking the 60s, the 70s? Where could women go? What could you do?
Well, very early 70s. And I started a women's refuge out of Melbourne in Victoria. And that was very difficult. Councils weren't keen to have houses sort of set aside. I always remember renting a property, and we went to the Rotary Club to ask them would they give us the money to build a fence around it for security. And there were several blokes that were very keen to do it, but others not so. Again, when we did get up some steam and get some funding, it was then a problem for women to maybe move on and maybe rent a house or rent a unit. Women couldn't rent a house or a unit in their own name. They didn't have the money for a bond or rent in advance, so I started a bond scheme where we would loan women money for getting into a property. There was always a bit of a joke that I was renting quite a lot of houses in the area, and I had to sign with my husband these rental agreements, and sometimes they would say, didn't like that house last week. No, not quite
a
suitable.
It's remarkable that from your own personal experience, Deirdre, that you, I guess, had it within you, the motivation and the passion to change things for other people. I mean, you know, so many other survivors, of course, you know, they don't go on to do the things that you've done on that broader scale. Where does that come from? And of course, this ties into your involvement in politics. What drove you, I guess, going through that experience to want to make change for other, make it better for other people?
I guess I wanted to make a difference. And I came from a very loving, big Irish family. I remember as a small child, my brother and I would deliver plum puddings through the church for families less fortunate than ourselves. So I always had a caring for others. I always felt that there was more than I had to give. Mm-hmm. And I did have the drive. And in very early days, women weren't pre-selected for mm-hmm. seats. I worked on campaigns for others. And sometimes I would think, oh, this bloke's a dud.
I can do a better job than this dud.
and so I stood for pre-selection on quite a number of occasions. I always had well-prepared speech, good answers to questions, but it just wasn't to be. And this is why I do have a problem with the quota system.
I was going to ask you about that, Deirdre, because it has come up again in recent times. The Prime Minister, in fact, has floated the idea that perhaps the Liberal Party needs to look at quotas to increase female representation. Your take on that quota system?
Well, I don't agree with it at all. And I think you've got to be there to be the best person for the job. You've got to be up to it. You've got to be strong. I would like to think that wherever I went, I got there on merit and that it just wasn't because I needed to make up the numbers. Within my party now, just recently, we've had a Senate pre-selection and there were two divided camps over whether a woman should lead the ticket or whether it should be the person able to lead that ticket. And I do feel very strongly about it. I fought very hard. I was first elected in International Women's Year and David Maguire, who's a name that is known around this town, was at the local paper. And I'm not sure if it was him, but certainly one of the reporters said to the mayor at the time, "It's International Women's Year. Do you think there'll be a woman on the council?" And he said, "I won't allow a woman on this council."
And so when are we talking here? What year is
1975.
Wow. Now, looking around the nation, particularly in the last, say, 3 to 6 months, Deirdre, when so many of these issues that we've just talked about, whether it is domestic violence, whether it is women in politics, whether it's the culture of Parliament House, particularly in Canberra, how do you reflect on the fact that all of these issues you've either been trailblazing in or advocating for so long? What does it mean to you to see it really come into the national spotlight at this time?
Well, I think it's long overdue that it is quite a current issue. I have worked for federal members, I have worked for a minister, so I know the mentality that goes on in old Parliament House. And it is a bubble, and you do work late at night, and if you have a win, you celebrate. And if not, what could we have done better? People would brainstorm. Often it would be said, "Well, what's your thoughts? You know, you're a woman. Oh, did you notice? How would you approach this issue and why? And give me some reasons, etc." So I often felt that, there was a very, very good balance of ideas. It's pleasing to see so many, but I do lament from the other side of politics that people are there because they've been in the union movement or particularly in the Senate. They don't have to face a pre-selection. It's jobs for the boys or girls. And so many of our women, our good women, have really earned their spot.
Some of your, as we said, you were on council here for 4 terms, an extraordinary record. What were some of the highlights, some of the big projects or the controversies, if you like, as you look back and reflect? And then also, how is the current council tracking just in general, or what would you like to see the current council take on and really tackle and lead the way for our city?
Well, obviously the Esplanade is something that we were all involved in, but the lovely trilogy building on the corner of Applin and the Esplanade, that was first knocked back. And nobody could see the value of what it would do to have that Esplanade looking well. So I fought very hard to have that decision overturned, and there it is as we see it.
And I understand there was a little story you put forward, rescinding motion, and the mayor at the time, Tom Pine, wasn't quite sure what was involved there.
I said to him, "Mr. Mayor, I'm putting a rescission motion in on that." And he looked at Terry Moore. He said, "What's a rescission motion?"
Yes. And your response?
Dear? And I said, "That's when I'm coming to you with information to re-look at this and think what is good for the city."
Very good. All right. That is a massively significant project. What about you now? You reflect on the city now. You've seen it change, of course, so much over the years. What would you like to see council, I guess, address or focus on, perhaps, that they're not at the moment?
Well, I'm just lamenting a little bit of the suburbs, because a lot of money seems to be being spent in the city, and people that are ratepayers are feeling a little bit shortchanged. I loved representing my area, which was Edge Hill, Whitfield, Manura, Manunda. And, you know, small things like set-down areas at the school or road shoulders, particularly the Collins Avenue reworking of that road, all of those things that people really cared about. And I've still got a few old blokes that I see at the Edge Hill post office that still think I'm there.
Think you're the sitting councillor.
And they'll say, "Oh, that footpath near so-and-so.
Come on, Deirdre, get onto it. What are you doing? Fantastic. Well, there's so much that we could talk about, and I would, of course, love to catch up with you again. And particularly because, as I said, particularly from in terms of the Liberal Party, you've been so intimately involved at every level, local, state and federal. And so to get your thoughts and your take on what's happening, not only on the history of this nation's political scene, but also current events, because you're absolute voracious reader of current events and current affairs, and you've got such a good handle on everything. Deirdre Ford, great pleasure to have you on The King Review.
Thank you.